We are entering our third year of the pandemic. During the pandemic, Americans have reported a fourfold increase in things like anxiety and depression. Millions of Americans are grieving a loved one. But even if you aren't anxious or depressed or grieving, the relentless stress of surviving a pandemic can take a toll. You may have trouble focusing and getting stuff done, feel like you're always exhausted no matter how much you sleep, or have a general sense of unhappiness. You may be in something called survival mode. We're talking about burnout, mental stress, and survival mode as we enter the third year of the pandemic, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Was I just talking about you? Have you felt that way lately or sometime over the last few years? Did you find a way out of feeling like that, even as the latest surge came along? How has the pandemic affected your ability to focus, to get things done, to be excited about things and enjoy life? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Jennifer Barman is an assistant professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the University of Texas McGovern Medical School. She's also a clinical psychologist. Jennifer, welcome to Central Time.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Well, a lot of times when we think of stress or even trauma, we might think of an incident or a short period of time. Can you talk about the effects of this sort of long-term, never quite going away kind of stress that we've seen during this pandemic?
Sure. Like you had just mentioned, you know, we're entering our third year of the pandemic. It's crazy to believe that we have been dealing with this pandemic for as long as we have. Well, it's caused a lot of changes in our lives, of course. And unlike stressors that we may have had at work or at home or at school or in different areas of our life before this, we have not had any respite from it. You know, other stressors that we've had throughout our lives, we get to get a break from it. But here we are, year number three, and we're just dealing with a constant state of having to adapt, having to make decisions about safety, having to deal with all these many little stressors, which add up to a lot of big stressors in our life.
That brings us to this concept of survival mode, which I kind of get the gist from the name, I think, but it was new to me as a psychological concept. What do we mean by survival mode?
Yeah, when we're in survival mode, it just feels like something isn't right. And, you know, when we think back of how we've been doing the past 2 years, probably all of us have in some extent been in survival mode. When we're in survival mode, we might notice that we're just feeling more nervous, more anxious. We feel easily overwhelmed, easily irritated by things. Our mood tends to fluctuate, and we may notice that it takes a little bit longer for us to feel okay in between sad moods. We may feel more frustrated and experience a lot of difficulty with tolerating that distress or that frustration. And it can take a toll on how we're performing at work, at school, in our lives kind of overall. And it takes a toll on our relationships with that. We may notice we're a little bit more snippy when we're in survival mode. It's just harder to be able to be as resilient as we naturally are. And with that comes, you know, changes in our sleep patterns where we might notice that we're sleeping more. We're maybe taking that afternoon nap more frequently than we would have before the pandemic or before being in the survival mode. We may notice we're having trouble falling or staying asleep. We could be turning to food to be able to cope with all these emotions that we're experiencing. And we may notice that we feel less pleasure in activities we used to enjoy, and perhaps even less motivation to engage in those activities that we used to find a lot of enjoyment in. And so sometimes when we're in that survival mode, we may get to a point of being in more of a struggle mode or a crisis mode, but not necessarily always the case. Some signs to be on the lookout for are those kind of emotional signs that I was just mentioning, but also physical signs. If you notice, like, you're having a lot more muscle tension, a lot more headaches, stomach aches, low energy, this could be survival mode. And it's really coming from a place of just being in this kind of constant state of stress, constant state of adaptation, feeling really overwhelmed with life in general and safety and all the obligations that come along with life as well as with the pandemic.
Talking to Jennifer Barman, psychologist at the University of Texas McGovern Medical School, looking at this idea of survival mode. A lot of people might have found themselves in during the pandemic. You can share your experiences if these things sound familiar or if you've had ways of getting out of that mode. Call 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Nick is with us in Green Bay. Hi, Nick.
Hi. Hi. I really enjoy your show. I appreciate it. We're not really stressed out about the COVID thing. We had COVID in August, and I was really sick. The only issue we had was the kids had to go virtual because of the school district, and it was so hard to get them to concentrate. They went from being straight-A students down to being horrible students, and they're that was a stress. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of screaming at the kids, like, come on, you've got to get, you know, into school. And there's no interest in it. I mean, after we got back into school, they're just like, thank you so much for getting back into school, like non-virtually. And I don't really like the virtual thing. I think it's very impersonal. So that's the only issue we've had since we went back to school. Life's been great. I mean, we're not too concerned about COVID now.
Nick, glad to hear they're doing better back at school. But that disruption of routine, the thing we're used to, the mode in this case of learning that we're used to, it isn't just the disease itself, but the disruptions it caused. Can you talk about the kind of problems, Jennifer, that can cause?
Yes, absolutely. So even if we're not necessarily concerned about getting sick, you know, we've been vaccinated or we've gotten sick in the past, the pandemic can still take a toll on our overall well-being. In this case, as Nick, you were just sharing, we're worried about our kiddos. The work from home, school from home, virtual learning, that's been a huge transition for families. You may be worrying, are your kids getting the education that they need? Are they getting the social development that they need? And how do we as adults best model healthy habits for our kids? So I can definitely understand your concern there, Nick. It's definitely tough during this time, this unprecedented time in our lives.
Thanks for calling in, Nick, at 800-642-1234. Cole joins us next in Stevens Point. Cole, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I definitely connect with everything that Jennifer's been sharing, and I think for me, one of the most helpful things has been just getting outside more, which has been more difficult in the wintertime. But I guess I was wondering Jennifer's thoughts on the benefits of just getting outside more.
Cole, thanks for the call. It's a great idea. I think something that's probably helped a lot of people, Jennifer.
Yes, self-care, self-care, self-care. This is number one. And going outside is a terrific way to engage in self-care, especially if the weather's nice, or even if it's not so nice, but going out for a little walk, going out and just spending some time outside. What that can do is it gives us a lot of good feelings. And, you know, we know that exercise or even, as I said, just spending time outside, it can help with our mental health. It can help us combat some of those blues that we might be noticing during feelings of being in survival mode. So I'm really glad that you're getting out of the house a little bit more. But self-care, whether that's spending time outdoors, doing something that you really enjoy doing, spending time with others, those can all be very helpful ways to combat some of this emotional distress or emotional difficulty that you might be experiencing.
Cole, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. And thanks for bringing us into some of the solution side of things here. One thing that strikes me, Jennifer, is, you know, if you're one person and you're in the midst of this multi-year global pandemic, it seems like part of the problem has got to be the sense that there's a lot that's out of your control. Are there ways that we can carve out a little bit of control in our lives that are going to help us get out of this survival mode?
Absolutely. You know, checking in with yourself, each person knows what their own limits are. Know those limits. It's okay to say no to things if you're feeling overwhelmed. It's okay to put up some boundaries as well. So even when you're alone, how can you kind of manage that stress? Are there ways that you've managed stress in other areas of your life, at other times of your life? Those will probably be helpful here. And I realize that with the pandemic, it's caused a disruption in how we can function and how we can access and use our coping skills most effectively. But sometimes our coping skills are still there, such as, you know, our last caller just mentioned about getting outside of the house. That's a really terrific way to use those coping strategies to take care of oneself more effectively. In terms of getting control over our life, engaging in those activities can be really helpful. Also recognizing what are some areas of your life that you still have control over. We all feel like we've lost a lot of control during the pandemic, right? There's mask mandates. There's all sorts of things that maybe we feel all sorts of feelings about. But what are some areas of your life that you still have control over? And we want to capitalize on those areas. We want to really acknowledge that they exist and best utilize those.
Thanks again for that call. We're talking to Jennifer Barman, Assistant Professor of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at the University of Texas McGovern Medical School. She's talking to us about stress, burnout, and pandemic survival mode, what it is, and maybe how to get out of it. You could join in at 800-642-1234. How has the pandemic affected things that were maybe already tough, like parenting, going through a breakup, grieving, losing a job, having a chronic illness? Have you felt that sort of just sustained blah through this thing? Have you found ways to get out of it, to de-stress during the pandemic, get out of survival mode? Do you have recommendations to share with others? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Jennifer Barman, Assistant Professor of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at the University of Texas McGovern Medical School, talking to us about how to get out of survival mode and what survival mode is as we enter the third year of this ongoing pandemic. You could join in with your experiences, your questions, your solutions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Mike is with us in Rusk County. Mike, hi.
Hi. When the whole COVID thing first started, I felt a little bit of stress, I have to admit. But I'll tell you, I have full faith and confidence in our medical community and our technology that's out there with the vaccines and so forth. And once I got the vaccine, and then when the boosters are required, once I got the booster, I didn't look back. I have total faith and comfort. I go out and live my life pretty much the way I lived it before the COVID. And I don't feel any stress at all now.
Mike, thanks. Good. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us, Mike. And I think a lot of people if you graphed their stress out, Jennifer, for a lot of people, they were like Mike, where the stress level may have gone down a lot after those vaccines started getting it, as people started to get them. And maybe if we worry about the news lately, it's good to reflect on the progress that's been made compared to where we were maybe a year or two ago.
For sure. A year or two ago, things looked very different. So even though we're entering the third year of the pandemic, we have the vaccinations to rely on, the medicine and the science that went behind it. But I can also understand for some people that while all this is out there and we are accessing and utilizing all this wonderful science, that it can still feel a little confusing at times. I look back at last spring when vaccinations were becoming more widespread and there was a return to some resemblance of the pre-pandemic life. But then Delta happened and then Omicron happened. And we may at times still be feeling very much the effects of the surge and the effects of the pandemic. It's wonderful to hear that some people are not feeling stressed, and that's fantastic. And that's what we want to hear, but it's okay if that's also not the case.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. I want to get into another concept comes up in conjunction with survival mode, the idea of cognitive dulling. What is that? What does that mean?
Yeah, so cognitive dulling is nothing new. It's something you might have experienced after a sleepless night or when you're not feeling well or when you're feeling very stressed. But what's unusual about cognitive dulling now is that how pervasive it is. And what cognitive dulling really is, it's a form of mental fatigue that can impact concentration, it can impact focus, attention, productivity, and overall emotional well-being and mental health. So it's something that we're seeing and hearing a lot more as having occurred in the past couple of years with the COVID-19 pandemic. And a lot of it has to do with this being in a constant state of adaptation and tying back to that survival mode. So being in that survival mode can trigger that sensation of cognitive dulling. We've had to make so many changes in the past couple of years, and we're continuing to having to adapt even now. We're dealing with poor boundaries of time. We're dealing with our kiddos being home. We're dealing with maybe being apart from our loved ones. And so it can affect how we function most effectively.
Talking to Jennifer Barman from the University of Texas McGovern Medical School, assistant professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences there, looking at some of the mental health, emotional health impacts of the ongoing pandemic. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. Been mostly talking about people who have just been kind of living through the pandemic. How about people for whom the pandemic has been what we might call traumatic? Somebody who's lost close loved ones, maybe multiple close loved ones, or the healthcare worker who has seen this, you know, the worst parts of the surges. What kind of things can we think about to help get them get through not just the ongoing pandemic, but this acute kind of trauma that they're seeing?
Yes, it's been a very difficult time for a lot of people. You mentioned healthcare workers, and also you mentioned people who lost a loved one. Now, having lost loved ones, that can be particularly challenging in these really unprecedented times, because there's a lot of things that go with it. It's this emotional processing that we're having to deal with, along with maybe being apart from others who we could maybe turn to for support and for help with the coping process. So giving ourselves that the recognition that it's okay to still be grieving, and it's okay to perhaps be grieving a little bit longer than we may have pre-pandemic. And for healthcare workers, it's so important that those tools that help with the stress, that we turn to those, but that we also turn to others. So for everyone, whether healthcare workers, first responders, civilians, people out there who are our listeners today, asking for help. We all have been going through a lot these past 3 years, and even if our stress feels like it's a lot more manageable now, know that sometimes being in that survival mode can also trigger a little bit more of that struggle mode or even crisis, and there are resources out there. So turning to people for help and support is going to be really essential here, and whether that's a loved one that we can turn to or the professionals, there are resources available.
Let's go back to our callers now. Joe is with us in Waukesha. Joe, hi.
Hello. Yeah, I just wanted to just a quick comment. During the pandemic, you know, I was extremely stressed at my job because we made automation for like warehouses to, you know, for people that bought more stuff online to get things out quicker. And we never closed during the pandemic, quite the opposite. You know, we were working 70 hour weeks because we just had a bunch of orders. And I was there for like over a decade, and it just became over, like, you know, way too much for me. And I just found another job that was just a lot less stressful because it was just the expectations were just way, way too high. And just thank you.
Joe, thank you so much for sharing that story. You are not alone. There are a lot of people switching jobs over the last couple of years. Jennifer, a lot of people in that situation, maybe rethinking what their job is and should be, as Joe did.
Yes, we definitely are seeing that a lot across the board here. And there's a lot of factors that go with that. Exhaustion, burnout, working those 60, 70 hours a week, that's a lot. But also satisfaction in work. It has definitely shifted for many people. And then there's people who lost their jobs during the COVID pandemic, particularly when I'm thinking like early pandemic, when there were a lot of losses, where there were transitions to other formats. It's tough. It's tough to have to reconsider what you want your career to look like or find a new job. Sometimes, as you know, our colleague was just mentioning, you've been in this organization for a decade, for a long period of time in your life, and it's tough making those transitions, whether it's with the goal of finding more life satisfaction, better work-life balance, or for other reasons.
Joe, thanks again for sharing your story. Time for one more caller. Wanda is with us in Orfordville. Wanda, hello.
Hello. I just want to share my happy experience with being sequestered. And it was the first winter of sequestering. A little kitten was dropped apparently from heaven into my yard in mid-November and gave me something warm to touch and love all the time I was sequestered.
Wanda, what's your kitten's name?
Bibsy Snowfoot.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think a lot of people, Jennifer, turned to pets, kittens or otherwise during this.
Definitely. It goes back to that self-care, that companionship, that the warm and fuzzies that we get from turning to our pets. They are a huge source of support. And a lot of people have turned to adopting more pets during this time. One thing about the work from home situation that a lot of people transition to is you have more accessibility to be able to tend to your pets day long. And so that's one of the wonderful things about self-care. And it sounds like a great way to do self-care.
Thanks for the call, Wanda. Just in our last half a minute or so, Jennifer, can you leave us with some encouragement if we're spotting some of these symptoms of survival mode you laid out earlier?
Yes, absolutely. Know that this is a current status that we're in. And you know it feels like it's been unrelenting and going on forever, but it will get better. And during these times when maybe it's a little bit darker and harder to see those good times, know that there are a lot of good things still that you can maybe turn to and a lot of support out there. As I was mentioning that talking to others or turning to support, I just want to highlight the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline and text line. That's 1-800-273-8255, or the text line is texting home to 741-741. And there's other crisis lines as well for that are accessible to you. Turn to those resources, turn to our loved ones, turn to people in your environment, ask for help because you are not alone.
Thanks to our guest, Jennifer Barman, assistant professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the University of Texas McGovern Medical School, talking about our mental and emotional well-being during the pandemic.